What did you take them with?
Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from Bowie, Maryland. The call-in number is 347-945-6713, and I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk tonight. I guess we can really call tonight Bad Habits Night because we got the NSA scandal. We can talk about that. We can talk about the Secret Service guys in Cartagena, Colombia. We can talk about the Ryan budget, though some of you may not think that's a bad habit. Some of you may not think NSA is a bad habit or the Secret Service guys, doing what they did. And we're going to talk about education a little bit and the testing atmosphere. I got myself in a ton of poop with people who actually think like I do along the testing areas, particularly about whether or not your kid should take the test. I got in this big heap of discussion on discus. I'd like to talk about, before we get into, the substantive issues is, we really are living in a place where one cannot speak their mind and people join in a clash of ideas. And it's really unfortunate because what that does is lock us into these horrible, horrible ways of looking at things. And, I don't know. I'm checking my tweets right now. There's Governor Romer. Here's one. It's really interesting. From 2007. To 2010, AT&T's tax rate fell from 34% to -6.4% despite enormous profits. I don't understand how a tax rate can go below zero. If you're out there, please give me a call, 347-945-6713, and explain to me how a tax rate can go below zero. I really would like to understand that, because how can you pay a negative tax rate? It's like the government giving you money back. God. I know education's on the agenda for tonight, and I just read a post from a kid. He says, "I'm so fucking tired of living between houses. I never have the right stuff. It makes schools 29,739 times harder." So much more than just having the right stuff. Ed Schultz comes up with, "We treat workers like they're a piece of furniture." Well, yeah, that's the commoditization of the working class. That's wage slavery. That's what we do. But no one wants to hear that either. A lot of interesting things are going on. Here's Buddy Romer again. Shocker! Corporations that spent the most on lobbying saw tax rates decline. Maybe it'd be just easier for them to pay the taxes. Did anybody ever ask that question? Let me go back and make sure nobody's calling me. I'd love to have a call. We had 11 online live listeners last week, and that was a lot of fun. And it really makes the time pass. Well, anyway, while I'm going through, I just liked MSNBC TV. Oh, what's coming up at 9 on MSNBC? Rachel Maddow's guest list, Steve Kornacki and Senator Sherrod Brown. That sounds interesting. So if you don't want to listen to Norm at Night, you might go over and pay some attention to Rachel Maddow. It really is fun just going through I don't even know. Jane McGonigal just put a tweet out there that she's in a room where the walls are covered with cake. I'd love to know what had been going on there. Oh, here's another interesting one from Ed Schultz. He's claiming that the GOP wants to destroy the post office. The post office is destroying itself. What we need to do is find a new mission for the post office, and everybody knows what I think that should be. The great Levon Helm, he's in his final stages of cancer. That comes from two people. That comes from Big Boy Little, who I picked it up from in my Facebook feed, and it also comes from Joe Scarborough right here in my Twitter feed. Do you want to hear? Well, so play some music for Levon, and if you want to hear the big boy play, you just come to the Zoo Bar right across from the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. every Thursday night. Music starts about 8:30. You get a whole set of the Big Boy Little Band, and I'm sure he'll have some things to say about Levon on Thursday. And also, he sure can play. So what do you think about the presidential race? It's all anybody seems to talk about today. When I say today, I don't mean today and specifically. Actually, I just saw another thing, and I don't know if anybody has been to a poetry slam out there, but if you want to go see a great performance poet or slam poet, as the slang goes, please go and listen or see in person, if at all possible, Sarah Kay. She may be the best. And that's strictly a Normette Knight agreement. I have a great friend, a published poet. Her name is Donna Denizen, and she's a performance poet too. And she is actually a great, great poet. Let me see if anybody's waiting in my queue. Nobody is here yet. Hey, 8737, glad you're with us. 8832, glad you're with us. If you want to join us on the air, 347-945-6713. And if any of you slammers or performance poets out there have something you'd like to do on the show, you are more than welcome. I will make time for you. Just come on right here. I'm going to bring my Facebook feed up. And we'll see what happens. Oh, you got to put a password in here, don't you, Norm? Anybody have any great railroading news? The cult will be here soon. You just threw out there on Facebook that he loves the Game of Thrones. Well, he'll have to tell us. Oh, the best guitarist I've ever heard just popped something on the Facebook, and I mean he's the best. And I heard Hendrix, and I heard Clapton. Matt Kelly's the best. And to watch Matt Kelly play, it's just pure guitar music. Nobody plays the blues better than Matt Kelly. And usually Matt does not go through all those shenanigans and facial expressions and all that stuff that so many others do. Here, I got a question for you, and anybody got an answer, give me a call. 347-945-6713. Here's the question: who was John Galt? And let's see what we come up with. And that should be kind of interesting. Hey, I got somebody coming in here. Hey, you're on with Norm. Go ahead.
It's all about the Benjamins.
It's all about the Benjamins. I'll take some Grants.
I beg to differ. Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton are leagues ahead of this other fellow you mentioned.
No. No. You're still in a purple haze. That's apparent.
Well,
Matt Kelly. I would much rather listen to Matt Kelly than Clapton for sure, and probably Hendrix.
Isn't Matt Kelly a two-bit itinerant guitarist who's just looking for, a handout compared to Hendrix? Come on now.
No. No. Matt Kelly is the best. He's the guitarist for Big Boy Little.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Itinerant.
It isn't. Didn't
He's
Rolling.
not the around his head sometimes. It's hard to tell.
Well, didn't Rolling Stone magazine come out with the 100 greatest guitarists? And I didn't happen to see Matt Kelly listed in the 100 greatest guitarists. And wait a second, that's right. Jimi Hendrix was number one.
Well, you know what? Maybe you need to cancel your subscription to Rolling Stone or whatever it was, because I don't know anything.
How about, can we, you know, now not just the 100 greatest guitarists, but it's the 100 greatest guitarists of all time, mind you.
Of all time?
Yeah, of all time. We're talking 18th century, 19th,
You got to talk about Keith Richards.
Keith Richards is not bad. I mean, the Rolling Stones, you know, you have that blues influence. You know, speaking of blues influence, you got what? You got the Stones. You have the Who. Let's not forget the Who. You have some nice...
They were called the Guess Who.
I personally think Keith Moon is pretty amazing. I thought they were an amazing band. I would have to place the Who a little bit above the Stones. What do you think?
I'm sorry. The Rolling Stones are the epitome of rock and roll's blues band. They are what it's about.
Didn't they sound
none of this Beatle crap. You know, you don't hear them running around calling them Sir Keith Richards or Your Lordship. Your Lordship Jagger. They just play the music.
They're a glorified garage band, the Stones, don't you think?
Glorified garage band? That must be one of the garages at the Romney Mansion, then, because it's got all it is everything.
That was funny.
Hey, speaking of funny, how about old Mitt Romney? Somebody says, well, what would you say to Barack Obama right now? He said, start packing.
So what do you think about this Secret Service at the whorehouse in Columbia ordeal?
Oh, come on. The Secret Service, they were down. I think the place they were down at, they call it the Slit or something.
They were living inside of it, you mean?
Well, you know, I don't know what everybody thinks people do when they post overseas, but, anybody out there ever been to Subic Bay, the Philippines? Why don't you call us up and let us know what it was like?
So it's shocking, huh? This, what a stir they caused. Oh, my. They did some,
You know what? If the Secret Service truly puts the itinerary of the president in hard copy and passes it out to everybody, everybody knows where that damn president's going.
You lost me. What is that supposed to mean?
Well, you know, they're making a big deal about, you know, these guys, they brought the prostitutes home and they're, you know, they had itineraries of the president in hard copy everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think, the maids don't look at that stuff?
Oh, my.
These morons, they've got running the show. Just unbelievable.
That's true. Man, you can say that again.
You know what? Oh, well, I've actually known personally three Secret Service agents.
Really?
Yes. On the presidential detail, actually.
Wow.
Two men and a woman. And one of them actually worked in Vance. And that's the easiest job in the service, actually. Because you're away a lot. And they were fine, upstanding people. Oh, wait, I got another call coming in. Hey, go ahead. You're on with... All right, we're in the middle of a Secret Service talk. You got something to hang?
So,
hey, you got it? Hey, it's the cult fans. We're having a good night. I got a ton of people in the chat room. Why don't you give us a call at 347-945-6713. I want to know, hey, everybody out there, last week was a great week because I had 11 callers.
Yeah.
Well, 11 live connections. They didn't all choose to talk, but you could dial in and listen too, you know, just like any other radio show. The only thing I would, but yeah, we're down in Cartagena. I always say that wrong.
Cartagena, isn't it? Cartagena or something like that?
I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
I should know because of my Colombian friends. That's a joke.
Your Colombian friends.
Yeah, my Colombian friends and I. So, yeah, that was quite a stir, and it's pretty funny, actually, to be honest with you.
Right, and it's getting bigger and bigger all the time.
There you go.
You know, I mean, half the country's not working, and we're worrying about the Secret Service dipping the stick.
Who argues with a prostitute over $47? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Oh, I thought it was 60.
Oh, well, whatever. That's not even, come on.
Is that what caused all this to kind of blow up?
Yes,
because of
yes.
Oh, two guys shared one of the women. They only wanted to pay her once.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that doesn't fly in the U.S., and it sure doesn't fly down there.
Oh, my.
What's that place in Nevada?
The Bunny Ranch.
The Bunny Ranch.
Yep.
You know, and the president wasn't even coming for two more days. What are they supposed to do?
Yeah, really.
Well, I hear
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, please. No, you go ahead.
I got a big kick out of, I'd never heard this before. I've heard a lot of things. The saying in the Secret Service is wheels up, rings off.
Well, the next stop for the summit, the presidential summit, is the Bunny Ranch in Vegas. I mean, Nevada.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's been...
Speaking of the president, does anyone know? No, he couldn't have gone to the hockey game last night. He wasn't home.
Why, is he a hockey fan?
No, but there was the big flap about the Boston Bruin goalkeeper not coming to see him when he...
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Well, he was in the net last night in Washington, and they said they were going to put the president right behind the goal. Well, good thing he didn't go because the Caps lost 4-3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you a big hockey fan there, Norm?
You grow up where I grew up. Hockey is important.
Okay.
Oh, here's some news, hockey related.
Yes.
Well, you know, our the arena deal for the Sacramento Kings fell through, right?
So, I don't really.
They were planning to build this big arena for the Kings, and the whole deal fell apart. But now our mayor, Kevin Johnson, otherwise known as KJ, he's pushing for another arena. Only this time, he wants to get a hockey team.
Hmm.
Man.
Is this the same KJ who used to play for the Celtics?
Let me think. I'm trying to remember where he played.
Is he with the Larry Bird Celtics back in the 80s? Is that the
case? No, he was he's younger than that. Why am I thinking Phoenix, I think? Yes.
Hey, well, you know, as long as we're talking about scandals and hockey, why don't we move on to the GSA scandal?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
How about that? That's a dilly bar.
Mm.
They go off and spend, what was it, almost $2 million
mm.
on a party in Las Vegas.
Who was this?
The GSA went on a team-building retreat in Las Vegas.
Oh, man. Boy.
And, you know, I mean, that's the person that's supposed to keep track of how much money the government's spending.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent a couple million. The guy was before a congressional. I can't remember it exactly. Somebody out there called this show and helped me get my, you know, when I was teaching school, I always had a Google jock to keep me honest. Because, you know, I always let those kids do whatever they wanted.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what a lie that was. But anyway.
Some say that's the path to true education.
Well.
Some say that's the path to anarchy.
Yes. Hey, did you hear that? Some say it's a path to anarchy.
Do you have a problem with that?
Do I have a problem with anarchy?
Yes.
No, I was just making a comment based on another comment.
Right.
Well, okay. You know what I saw today on Twitter? Actually,
what?
I didn't see it. I wrote it. school taught me to read. After that, I directed my own education.
Oh, there you go. Mm. Yeah, well, some maybe are not as, how should I say, like book lovers such as yourself,
you know,
sir.
Some barely
Some
barely get past plays well with others. You know?
There you go.
Yeah. I bet Mitt Romney didn't.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Well, you saw
anyway, so what do you think about these guys going off to Las Vegas and spending at least hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Yeah.
Come on, what do you call it? Just Google it.
Yeah. Have you ever been on
that?
Yeah. It was
$867,000
or something.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, okay. That sounds right. We'll say hundreds, almost a million. That's right.
You know,
the guy goes before a congressional hearing yesterday. He was like going back to the McCarthy era. He's taking the fifth. They asked him what he did. They asked him what he did at GSA. And he's on advice of counsel. I am not answering based on my Fifth Amendment rights. They asked him what his job was.
Yeah. Have you ever been on one of those team-building excursions?
Oh, yeah.
See, and I went on one. And
Navy doesn't count.
No, we went to San Francisco. We went to Golden Gate Park. And
was that when you were with the newspaper?
Yeah, and this was with they had this whole course set up there, you know,
uh-huh.
with the high wires and all the crazy crap that you got to do. Falling into everyone's
right.
arms and blah, blah, blah. And I think the whole company, I mean, this would have been the whole advertising department. So they put maybe 200-some people through it, and I doubt that it cost more than $100,000.
Mm.
Well, I mean, they had...
Well, some of the people went to Tahoe, some went to San Francisco.
$54 breakfasts. And...
Yeah, no. We had a bus with beer in the back of it. You know.
Sounds like the Red Sox clubhouse.
So. And there was,
all I know is Ozzie Guillen's back in the dugout in Miami.
And Castro sure is happy.
Yeah, and Cesar and Hugo Chavez. I even heard that Che Guevara is back in the grave now.
Is he?
Oh.
Che's spirit is sitting right next to Ozzy.
When they fired Ozzy, Che's spirit came into... I hear Che's going to some private school auction.
Last I heard, he was hanging out with the Secret Service in Carnania or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, no, I heard they're all going out in Northern Virginia somewhere.
Oh, I wish.
For a night in Havana.
Oh, hey, touche, baby, touche.
Yeah, like the touche with all that fruit in his hair and a sarong. And
well, anyway.
Getting down with the GSA.
The GSA, man, it was just amazing. But yeah, I've been on a lot of the first actually school that I worked at, they did that team building stuff all the time. We went rock climbing and hiking and and we went with these real nature freaks.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't leave any imprint on nature. They couldn't know you were there.
Oh, screw
you
that.
You had to burn your toilet paper. So I just used a lead.
Yeah.
Burn just had to make sure it wasn't poison. Maybe. Yeah, they wanted you to burn you. You had to dig a little hole to poop.
Oh, jeez. I was lucky because, we were fairly close to the street. So when I wanted to get away from it, because it was
just got away.
I went out and had a cigarette, and there was a restaurant, and I got a sandwich.
I know a guy. He went to some big teacher thing in Richmond. He just took off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but the thing is with that is that. I don't remember any positive results afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Like, people, I've seen, once you've been in the corporate world for, a couple decades, you see all kinds of things come and go. And then they come back again.
Right. The 7 Habits of Effective People is starting to make a comeback.
Yeah.
Stephen Levy must need money.
Yeah, well, remember that one that was this, there was a thing where it was like total customer involvement or something of that sort. And
that was the guy from GE.
Yeah, and you had to treat all of your fellow employees as if they were your best customer. Well, that lasted a matter of weeks. I mean, people exploited the death out of that. Every policy we had was violated.
Hey, 96, 97, why don't you just join us in the audio conversation? Just dial 347-945-6713. You too, 8832.
Now, the worst one was the creative destruction model.
Don't know that one.
Well, it was called Break It. Whatever policies procedures you had, destroy them and remake them. So it was called Break It, and you had to break everything and reinvent it.
Oh, that'd be kind of fun.
Well, it was to the extent that, we did break things and we did remake them, but within a few months they resembled what they were, People went back to what worked and said, screw it.
Well, it's really interesting. I went to a soccer coach's seminar, and the point of the guy giving the seminar was, everybody talks about defense because they have no genius. It's easy to defend because all you have to do is destroy. Offense has to create something. A goal is poetry. And the real geniuses of the game are the goal scorers. And that affected me a great deal. And every team I coached after that was just score goals. Forget about how many the other team gets. Just get one more than them. But anyway, we lost our caller. He's off somewhere.
I remember, you know, a lot of what they did was, you know, they were recycling, you know, some basic psychology, you know, Maslow and this and that. You know, it was, you know, things that we had, most people knew, maybe forgot, but then they were refreshed, you know. But
I saw great that. I don't mind team building. It's kind of fun.
Well, I remember this lady who ran the whole program, and she came over to our table. You know, we had teams of like 6 or 8 people that were, you know, within the whole team, right? And so she comes over and sits down, and I had a ball cap that I wore. I had it on the chair. So she comes sits on the freaking thing. You know, and I was being polite, and I thought, oh, I won't embarrass her and tell her that. Until she said something like, she said, and we have to pay attention to details. You have to be aware of your surroundings, aware of everything you do. And I said, well, speaking of which, would you mind getting off my hat? You know.
Wow.
It was my crowning achievement. And from that point on, I was on her dirt, you know, shit list. That was over.
You know, Catholics, we're real big on going on retreats and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was working at a Catholic school, and we went on a retreat, and we had to write down, I don't know, they asked us questions. One was about favorite authors, and I happened to write down Herman Melville, and so this other guy. And so they, like, paired people, you know, had matching things, some kind of shared characteristic. And his name was George. He looked just like Colonel Sanders.
Oh, whoa.
But we went off into the next room, and we became best friends, and still are to this day.
Oh, cool.
He gave me... just a gorgeous, beautiful book that not many people would, well, I don't know, but it was all about the big lake freighters.
Oh, okay.
And it was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
I love those ships. I was going to build an HO scale model of one, but it would have been 12 feet long.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Well,
that's a big model.
Yeah, that era's pretty much gone. I mean, they're still shipping, but it's nothing like it was.
Nothing comes to Buffalo. In fact, there's so little shipping in Buffalo now, they're going to put windmills in the harbor.
Oh, Well, they can take advantage of that northern wind, I guess. Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of wind in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the only boats really that still come in there are the grain boats for General Mills and the coal boats for the Huntley, what do you call that, electric plant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot.
That's a stunner. That.
I didn't think there were any coal plants left in that in the area.
The city of Buffalo is the city itself, its electricity is not provided by Niagara Falls.
Yeah, right. Well, for the longest...
It's provided by the Huntley plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's right down there in the harbor.
Yeah. Because the way things are going, let's face it, coal is on its way out, you know. I don't see any more coal plants being built anymore, you know.
You know what I don't understand, and maybe the audience can enlighten us a little bit. Everybody talks about how we should produce oil. I say we save all of our own and buy all the oil out there.
Mm-hmm.
When that runs out, we still have our own and we don't sell it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that, 96, 97? How about you, 88, 32? You think I'm a crackpot?
Yeah.
Oh, I
well,
saw a...
The only,
I saw...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, the only problem, one is, you know, we, of course, we still have a lot of oil that we haven't exploited yet, but, you know, it's so damn expensive.
There's more in Alberta than in the Arabian Desert. It's just a little bit harder to get at.
Oh, are you're talking about tar sands?
The oil sands, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's all that shale oil in Colorado.
Yeah, well, the Bakken in North Dakota, well, it runs North Dakota up into Canada, Montana, it's over there too. So that, you know,
still,
that oil, I've actually seen it come out, right? And it looks as clear as the oil we buy in a can. It requires practically, it's incredible. You know, what they used to call, you know, light sweet oil. Well, this is, it's in a class by itself. I mean, it's just amazing.
Are they still pumping any oil in Pennsylvania?
Oh, I imagine so.
Okay, it's an interesting question. I know somebody knows the answer. Give us a call, 347-945-6713.
See, a lot of the old wells, they're working them over now with, you know, they have new technology. So they use infill wells, and they also have another, several other processes. There's another one, steam injection. Because when you tap a reservoir, you typically only get about a third of it. And then once the pressure's gone, you can't get any more.
But you got to push something down into it,
right,
to make
exactly.
What's in it come up.
So these new techniques that developed over the last 20 years or so allow them to do that, either with steam or different types of solutions they put in there. The Saudis have been using, they just use seawater. They just pump that in. So there's a lot of ways to do it.
Well, isn't that what happened in the Gulf? Isn't there was some valve that failed, and that's why all that BP oil came up into the Gulf?
In our... Oh, no,
yeah,
that...
Pump it.
Yeah,
I
no,
they
I don't...
pumped water down into it, and the valve broke, and all the oil came out.
Yeah, you know, I'm not familiar with the exact cause, you know, other than pressure got to levels that the structure could not support, but they're questioning the integrity of the cement seals and all the rest of it. So, because these, you know, if you go underneath and look at these things, they're nothing like you would imagine, because you have a central well, a pipe. And then you have all these other ones that are attached to it, which are also drills. You know, there are also holes there. And these pipe into the main pipe, which is what comes up through the platform. But I'm not aware of, I know what you mean, the mud.
Yes.
Yeah, well, the mud is like a lubricant. Yeah, they used that.
Well, it didn't work. That's all.
Yeah,
I
right. So, yeah, when they're drilling, that mud has to be in there because of the incredible amount of heat. Once it hits rock, you know. You know, you've got to have something to cool it. So this mud is down in there, and then the mud is squirting up. It's squirting down and then squirting up out again to take some of the heat off of it.
Let me see what's going on my Twitter. After some of these things, I haven't spouting tonight. Anything possible could be happening. I don't see anything too interesting. The Oprah effect.
Is there an Oprah effect anymore? Because she, you know, don't see around much anymore. I mean, I don't watch her network.
Didn't her network, like, wasn't it a real trash dump?
It's not doing well, and she's not, she has no other syndicated shows running. So, you know, I don't know what she can do to promote it. But it looks like she spent a lot of money on something that isn't going to work.
Well, you know, she made enough money that she can probably have 20 failed shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
have you seen Jackass 3?
No, I haven't.
I haven't seen any of them, but I just, there's a tweet here. I feel so cool right now sitting in my room watching Jackass 3.
Yeah, I've seen some of the Jackass movies, but I can't tell you which one is which.
beats me. You know, now we were talking about oil and everything. People are looking for something new for the post office to do.
Yeah. Well, the latest reports are that it's just too damn big. Mostly it's the distribution network. So, yeah, I expect it to be smaller, and I don't know if they'll stop Saturday delivery or whatever, you know.
I think it needs to change its mission.
Well, yeah, I think it...
I take that back. I take that back. Not its mission. Its mission is to connect the pieces of the country.
Yeah.
That's what the mail does. They need to move from analog to digital.
Mm-hmm.
The post office should be charged with making broadband wireless available to everyone in the country. And there should be like a tax.
Oh, okay.
You know, Medicare.
Now you don't think? Oh, right, right. There's a cost saving enterprise.
Well, I'm not trying to.
Yeah, well, yeah. The thing there is the private sector is pretty much going to control or pay for it. You know, the infrastructure to develop the internet connection.
Why would anybody? Okay, why would anybody buy Verizon if you can get broadband wireless for free?
Oh, you're talking about something quite different. Well, yeah, I mean, some cities... I think it would be wonderful to have free wireless connection. You know, everybody has that, but we don't live in that world.
Why not?
Why not? Because we'd rather fight wars and waste our money on shit like that.
Yeah, but if we could electrify the country, we sure can, what would you call it, broadband the country.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, these were, I can remember the idea 10, 20 years ago when people were thinking in those terms, and let's face it, none of that happened. Let's go back to the 1920s. Radio. Now.
Well, radio's a real. It, you know, that is a really interesting thing, because radio, though nobody would ever think of it, is a two way medium.
Mm-hmm.
And. It was prevented from becoming such.
Yeah, I was...
And a lot of that is happening to the internet also.
Mm. Well, it's interesting because if we even go back to, let's say, you know, the what was the biggest media company in the 20s, or we'll call it new media in the 20s, was RCA. And that was...
Yes, they were.
Now, that was formed by AT&T, General Electric, United Fruit, and the federal government. So, you know, you can go back there and see, oh, yeah, they had to have subsidies back then, too, didn't they?
Yeah. Hey, 8832, we still got room for you, though we only got about 8 or 9 minutes left. And, oh, the one last thing I wanted to throw up, because in fact, when I look at it, it makes me throw up. The Ryan budget. Who do you think Mitt Romney might choose for a running mate?
Yeah, I don't know that... it's really hard to say. He probably wants to solidify the South. I think it's someone from the South. I think he caves.
Is he going to be somebody from the South? Huh?
I think he caves to an evangelical or somebody they like.
What about Santorum?
No. I think he alienates a lot of people.
Well, he alienates me, that's for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah. No, I have no... he's way out there. I'm sorry.
I gave all my sweater vests to Goodwill.
Oh. I doubt that I own one anymore.
I actually have a lot of them. I like them.
I used to wear them, like, in the 70s, but, you know, but once you're in a warmer climate, you just don't wear things.
Well,
like
that's
that.
True. Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, I'll wear a sweater, but that's in the fall or winter, you know, but not like, you know, when you want a jacket and a sweater vest and all that, that's too heavy, you know, that's not.
You know, I never time my dinner correctly. The bell rang on the oven just as the music started to play for the show.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Do you watch Piers Morgan?
Oh, rarely. Mm.
Ah, right. Learn to play the Nimzo Indian Defense with Danny Wrench.
Oh, God. Surprised I still remember it.
I didn't remember the name.
Yeah. Nimzo.
Actually, I've been playing chess.
Hello.
Oh, why are so many Democrats anti-union all of a sudden? You know, Diane Ravitch, that is a great question.
Really? I didn't know Democrats were anti-union. Certainly not out here.
Oh, there. Man, the president of the AFL-CIO was giving the president hell today for wanting to sign the free trade agreement with Colombia.
Oh, well, all of these free trade agreements are anything but. You know.
That's not true.
I'll just throw NAFTA out and you can take it from there.
What's the matter with NAFTA?
NAFTA? Holy Christ. How many millions of jobs were lost because of that goddamn thing?
You know, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure about
it. The problem is there isn't work to do anymore.
Well, it's like this. If you close 50 factories, and I'm talking only General Electric, if you close 50 factories in the United States and you open and build 39 factories in Mexico, that doesn't tell me that there's no work there. That tells me that you're moving for cheaper labor. That's all it tells me.
But if that was true, we wouldn't have the immigrant issue, because immigrants don't go to where there's no work.
Another part of NAFTA. You see, while all of our factory jobs were going to Mexico, our big companies like Archer Daniels and ConAgra were screwing over the corn market, and all those farmers, mostly small farmers, lost their land. And where did all those farm workers go? Where the jobs are, in the United States. So it was you exported jobs, and then the cheap farm labor, who had nowhere to go, they had to come to the United States.
Yeah, maybe.
No, it's no maybe. That came after NAFTA was passed. The agriculture minister in Mexico literally made a public statement. He says, if you're a farmer in Mexico, you better be looking for another job. And in fact, don't you remember the tortilla crisis in Mexico City and through there?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, see, they ran out of corn. So they forced the situation on them, where now all the small farms were bought by the large corporations, and now they're corporate farms. And, of course, they don't need workers. I mean, they need some workers, but they don't need, every little farm had a tractor and maybe 10 people working, and they were mostly like family farms, you know. But it kept everyone employed. And all the vendors on the street corners selling the tortillas, they had jobs too. But see, all that got wiped out, the whole system that they'd been depending on for probably a century.
Yeah, but that wasn't NAFTA's fault.
No, that wasn't.
The problem is
because
that
if our companies could have moved in on them earlier, they certainly would have. They couldn't get in there until NAFTA. And the thing about NAFTA is it only allowed certain businesses to do things. It wasn't like everybody could just, where all tariffs just disappeared. No, it wasn't like that.
I don't know about it's amazing to see the trucks on the Peace Bridge.
Uh-huh.
Although they're all coming our way.
Yeah. See, there was a tough one, too, because here you had the unions, Teamsters in particular, and they didn't want all these Mexican vehicles on the roads. Oh, God.
Right. And so they claimed safety standards. I do remember that.
And then in California, we had the pollution issue. We said, well, we want all of these trucks to meet our standards on emissions. And, of course, we lost that one.
Yeah, we have to figure out some way to digitize our jobs.
Yeah, except that,
machines make stuff now. The machines
right.
are driven by computers. I mean, that fact is not changing.
Yeah, well, Yeah, I think, when we're talking mass production, then you're correct. And I think the only things left for the majority of workers are, specialty items. Now, Wonder
like
Bread.
What?
Wonder Bread can produce white bread, probably 20 tons every hour. But if I want a really good handmade loaf of bread, 7 grains and whatever, I need a baker.
Stop all that nonsense. 40% of the kids in the country are starving.
40% of our children are starving?
Yes.
That can't possibly
they go to
be
bed
true.
Hungry.
Where are you
they
getting that
go,
from?
They go to bed hungry.
40%? That's enormous.
Yes,
that's
of the children, not all the people the children. Start in Buffalo, New York. Detroit, Michigan. People don't have jobs. Anyway, we're done.
I thought these kids were getting free meals a day in school.
Yeah, pink slime. That's the end of that.
Yeah, that seems to be gone. I think so, anyway. They're out of business anyway.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's it for another week with Norm at Night. We'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks for calling. Everybody out there, thanks for listening. We're done, and next week we'll take it up where we left off. The topics are your choice. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Take care, man. Good night.
Good night.